This is a WLWT Commitment 2024 special. The Ohio U.S. Senate Republican Primary Debate. Live at Miami University in Oxford. Here now, WLWT News 5 anchor, Cherie Pilello.
Good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight for the final Ohio Senate debate in the Gates of Buglin Theater here on Miami University's campus. We are proud at WLWT to once again be partnering with Miami University for such an important race. This race is being watched closely, not only across Ohio, but across the country, as it could have major implications for both political parties come November. Now, before we get started tonight, we would like to take a moment to recognize everyone who's helped to make tonight possible, from our student volunteers, to the technical support, to the police department, and of course, everyone in between. Tonight's debate would not be possible without your partnership. Now, we have a busy night to get through tonight. I have a lot of questions. I want to get through as many as possible with our three candidates. So let's get right to our opening statements tonight. And by virtue of a random draw, Mr. LaRose will give the first statement. You have 1 minute, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry, and thank you to you, my fellow Ohioans. As we near the end of this primary campaign, this long job interview, there's really one simple and fundamental question that all of us should be asking ourselves. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? You're going to hear a lot of talking points tonight from both of my opponents. They're both desperate to convince you that they're conservatives. I think you know better. Ask yourself, who do you trust? Mr. Dolan has the most liberal record of any Republican in the state legislature, voted for the second largest tax increase in Ohio history. Mr. Moreno has a long history of supporting liberal causes, including gun control, mag and ammunition limits, radical gay and trans groups that want to perform gender transition surgeries, and other liberal causes not consistent with our conservative values. You know me. You know who I am. A Green Beret, a father, and a fellow conservative. Somebody who will run into the fight and fight for our values and never let you down.
Thank you, Mr. Moreno.
Well, first of all, acknowledge my wife, Bridget. Thank you for being here, Bridget. Thank you for allowing me to take our family on this journey. Something that, honestly, I never thought we would do at this stage of our life. But I have four adult kids, three grandkids, and this election is really important. You're about to make one of the most consequential votes of probably your lifetime. The good news is, this morning, somebody finally got through to Nikki Haley, and we now know that President Donald J. Trump is going to be our nominee. And now, those same forces that for the last 14 or 15 or 16 months have tried to cancel the American First Movement and tried to make certain that somebody else replaced President Trump, now in this Senate race, it's the same thing. There's a very, very simple conversation. Do you want a senator that's going to have President Trump's back, that has his endorsement? Or do you want the Nikki Haley, Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney wing of the party? That's a choice. It's that simple.
Mr. Dolan.
All right, good evening, and thank you, Miami University, for hosting us. Thank you, everybody, for being here. So I'm running for the Senate because I want to continue to do what I've done in my public and private sector life, and that is work hard every day for you. Because I know when Ohio feels better, our businesses are better, education's better, our streets are safer. Sherrod Brown, Joe Biden, they make our life harder. You guys know it. You feel it. We can be better. We can do better. You know, I've been put in charge by conservative speakers and conservative presidents, and look at my budgets have been called the most conservative budgets in Ohio history because I've done the things that we want to see done as Republicans. Less taxes, less regulation, less abortion, school choice, support our police. And I've done it with Republicans. But I know some of you don't always agree with what I've said, but I can guarantee you this. You know it's always been about Ohio. My opponents are reinventing themselves for their political interest. I have always stood with you, with Ohio, and our great country.
Thank you. Let's get started. Let's get started now with the question and answer portion of our debate tonight. Each candidate will have a minute and 15 seconds to answer. Each follow-up question or rebuttal will be 30 seconds based on my discretion. We begin with Mr. LaRose tonight. My first question to all of you is, I think what a lot of conservatives are wondering and undecideds right now. What sets you apart? You're so similar. The last Emerson College poll that I looked through showed that the three of you together make up a combined 58% of the vote, meaning more than 40% of voters right now across Ohio are undecided. So with the polls being so close and so many similarities between the three of you, what differentiates you from your opponent? Mr. Marino. Oh, Mr. LaRose. LaRose,
thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Bernie. Well, first of all, I think that it's pretty clear that I'm the one who's the proven tested conservative. I've got a long track record of that, a 100% pro-life voting record. I'm the only one up here with that. I'm the only one with a 100% pro-gun voting record, and I believe that the words in the Second Amendment are very clear when they say shall not be infringed. That means that it's not just about hunting and shooting sports. Those are wonderful. But it's about this fundamental idea that a disarmed nation is not free. And that's why I will always fight for our Second Amendment rights. I happen to be the only one on the stage that's not independently wealthy, but we've worked hard to raise money from Ohioans that really want to see a fellow conservative serving in this office, and those are the things that that I've been out there doing on the campaign trail. I'm also one who is a father. I'm a father and a fighter. I'm the only candidate on this stage that has school-age children. My wife Lauren is here with me this evening, and our three girls are at home. And we don't want to co-parent with the government. We want our children to be raised with our values, and that's something that I will always fight for. And I believe that other parents feel the same about that. I'm also the one that can beat Sherrod Brown. I'm the only one up here who's ever won a statewide race. And if you're going to beat a tough, entrenched, liberal incumbent like Brown, you need to send somebody into battle that's actually won a few before, and I certainly have.
Mr. Marino, same question.
So I think there's not a lot that separates my two opponents. I think there's a lot that separates me. Never held public office, never even been on a ballot till this cycle. I'm not chasing a job. I'm not currently employed by the state of Ohio and supposed to be doing that job. I've sold all my business interests to do this. And I've been endorsed by President Trump. He knows this race. He knows who the people are who are running. He knows that I'm the one that's going to have his back and have the America First agenda on my mind. I'm also the only one that's actually going to stand up behind President Trump to deport anybody who's in this country illegally. I'm 100% in favor of term limits. My wife will say third term, second wife. So to make it clearer, my opponents are against term limits. They want to be there for their entire lives. And we have plenty of people who went into D.C., Frank, that didn't have money. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about the people that made a lot of money in Washington, D.C. I've been blessed by this country, and I'm doing this to serve this nation. I'm also the only one on the stage that will clearly and unequivocally say that we should not send any more money to Ukraine, that we need to put America and American interests first and get that war resolved into peace.
We're going to get to a lot of those issues. Mr. Dolan, same question for you.
Well, the first thing that sets us apart is I'm the only one who can talk about things that we did that have helped Ohio. I talked a little bit about my opening. I have put myself in a position of leadership where I have gotten conservative budgets called the most conservative in Ohio history because I enacted what you want as Republicans enacted in our state budget, less taxes, less regulation, school choice. But here's also the difference. I'm not reinventing myself. I'm standing in front of you as the guy that says, here I am, I want to go fight for you in Washington, just like I have fought for you in Columbus. The difference also is, look, it's not just about fighting, because if you're fighting without results, you're just shouting. I have fought and I've gotten results. But here's the other difference. I'm not standing up here, you know, Frank talks about guns, he cozies up to a gun control group. Bernie talks about, he's tough on immigration. He was for a path to residency. These guys are reinventing themselves. They don't want you to know their history. Go back and try to look at their deleted tweets. You can't. Go back and look at what they wrote in articles. You can't. Because they don't want you to know who you are except for now when they want your vote. I have been consistent. I know who I am. You know who I am. And when I go to Washington, we will get things done.
Time.
Mr.
Let's get to one of the biggest issues facing, I think, every person, not only across Ohio, but the country. Right now, Ohio families are struggling just to put dinner on the table. Grocery prices are at record highs. Inflation is not falling as quickly as many had expected. So I want to talk specifics here. What specifically could you do immediately to put more money in the pockets of Ohio workers? Mr. Marino, you're first.
Well, the problem is that wages aren't keeping up with expenses because you have politicians in Washington, D.C. that just today decided to spend even more of our money. So when you're fueling an economy with government spending, you're going to get inflation. When you advocate for something like the infrastructure law that had nothing to do with infrastructure but spent trillions of dollars that we didn't have, you're going to fuel inflation. The other part of it is that Joe Biden and Sherrod Brown have absolutely declared war on American energy. From the moment they came into office, they canceled the Keystone Pipeline, and that's been right a trajectory to closing coal mines, banning LNG exports. We have to become an energy-dominant country, period. The third thing is we have to unleash the engine of prosperity, which is our marketplace. We have to make certain that we have a regulatory environment that doesn't crush businesses. We also have to encourage people to go to work. Sherrod Brown, Joe Biden right now are paying 8 million people that can work, not to work. That is a double whammy. You don't get the productivity and you have the expense. And then the last part is we have to clamp down on illegal immigration. That's costing us to have healthcare costs that are out of control, housing costs that are out of control, and insurance costs that are under control. That's how we fix this inflation problem.
Mr. Dolan?
Well, what we need to do in Washington is what we've done here in Ohio, and that's put more money in the taxpayers' pockets. That means helping small businesses. You know, some of the things we've done here is allow small businesses to reinvest in their own business, to hire more. In Washington, we need to make sure that Trump tax cuts remain in place, and we need to be even more aggressive about them. You know, just last week, I was sitting around with a bunch of small business owners, and they walked me through all the regulations that come out of Washington since Joe Biden went into office that end up costing you more money. So get regulation under relief. We also have to understand this. We need to be strong economically around the world because that will help drive costs down. We need to take on China. We need to create new markets around the world. Think Indonesia, India, Vietnam, because that is what's going to help put pressure on China to drive their prices down. We've got to make it so attractive to site your business here in Ohio and in the United States that the economy grows. And one of the ways we need to do that is turn the spigots back on. Joe Biden cut our economy to our knees on the first day of office when he told Ohio and the United States, we are no longer going to be energy independent. Instead, we're going to rely on our enemies, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, but even Russia.
Time.
In November of 21, Joe Biden bought oil and gas from Russia.
Thank you. Mr. LaRose, same question.
Yeah, Sherry, I'm glad we're talking about the economy. I was asked by a reporter just the other day, Frank, why do you say that this economy's bad? Look at these economic statistics. Bureau of Labor Statistics says, hey, the economy's pretty good. And I stopped her. I said, good for who? Maybe if you're somebody that lives off of a stock portfolio or a trust fund, this economy's okay. But for the rest of us, for those of us that sit at a kitchen table and actually have to pay our bills at the end of the month and figure out why everything costs more, this economy's truly hurting us. And the people in charge, Brown and Biden, are offering solutions that aren't really solutions. You know, they took a bunch of Green New Deal garbage and put it into a bill, but called it the Inflation Reduction Act that really just made inflation worse. Shocking to me that Mr. Moreno supported policies like that in the past, including, by the way, writing an op-ed saying there should be more government subsidies for wind and solar. That's absolutely the opposite of what we need to do. The secret to American prosperity has always been hardworking people, great natural resources, but most importantly, the freedom to make the first two work to create prosperity. We need to cut taxes, streamline regulations. We need to be not just energy independent, but energy dominant. That means drill for oil, drill for gas, mine for coal, so that we have power to drive this economy when the wind's not blowing and when the sun's not shining. That's what I'll do in the United States Senate.
Mr. Marino, would you like to respond to that? Did companies you worked for before support these green energy sources?
He's a very silly man. The reality is that's obviously not true. That's obviously
okay.
Not true. The reality is this. I'm not going to interrupt you guys. Please don't interrupt me when I'm talking. So here's the reality. When you're a business person, you know exactly how an economy works. I don't need to have people sit down and explain to me what regulations work. Right now, you're getting paid by the state of Ohio to do a job that you're not doing because you're out interviewing for another job. Let me ask you watching this tonight. If you had a job, a full-time job, that you got paid to do, could you go out and interview publicly for another job? Okay. If you worked for me, you know what we'd call you? Former employee.
Okay, time. I know you're super passionate in the audience, but please, if you could, hold your applause because we do want to get to so many questions. So let's move on to the next topic, and this has impacted every one of you. It's a platform that you're standing on. I've seen all of your commercials, and all of you talk about the border problem. We've heard all of you talk about the need to seal our borders. Millions of illegal border crossings are happening every year. Deadly drugs like fentanyl, which, by the way, is a huge problem in Cincinnati and cities all across Ohio, are dealing with this. They are flowing across our borders. You all talk about the problem, but what are you specifically going to do to fix the problem and close our borders? Mr. Dolan, you have the first question.
Thank you. First of all, there have been tremendous reinvention on themselves on this issue. And I won't even have to go into it. Just read what they said before they wanted your vote in a Senate primary. They were for amnesty. They were for path to residency. They were for citizenship. I have been consistent in my position. We have a border issue in the United States. But under Joe Biden, it's a border crisis, and it deserves to be responded as such. And I am the only one in this race who's called for securing and sealing the border, which means we are temporarily closing the border to immigration because we need to build a wall. We need to get technology. We need to give our Border Patrol more authority to act. We need to get Remain in Mexico in place so we're ready to, when you, if you're going to seek asylum in this country in the future, you're not coming in this country until it's granted. We need to go to Mexico City and make sure they help us and destroy the cartels. And we need to declare fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. It's not a campaign slogan. That allows us as America to go right to China and say, you know those ingredients that you're sending to Mexico City, that poison that's coming into our country and killing our kids and our families? We're going to stop that before it even gets to Mexico. These are the things we can do, and we can do them right away. It just takes political will and someone who has the experience of actually executing.
Mr. LaRose, same question.
There's absolutely an invasion occurring on our border, and it is impacting every part of this country. There was a wonderful young woman just murdered in Georgia just 2 weeks ago, and the blood is on the hands of these people in the federal government that refuse to do anything about it. Brown and Biden have made this problem worse. We know that drugs are coming across the border. In fact, Sheriff Rick Jones, right here in Butler County, did a traffic stop, one of his deputies, just a couple months ago, and found enough fentanyl to kill 1.5 million people. I'm proud to be endorsed by Sheriff Rick Jones, a real law and order sheriff, because he knows I'm the one that'll take border security serious because I've served there. This is a unique perspective that I have. I volunteered as a soldier with the 101st Airborne to serve as part of a counter-narcotics task force on the border. I've laid out a very clear plan. Three military divisions immediately deployed to the border. The president could do this tonight if he wanted to. Don't hold your breath, anyone. Three military divisions could secure the border. They don't need to be there all that long, 8 months, maybe 12, until the wall can be completed. We must make it clear that if you are here illegally, you will be deported, and that there will be no amnesty of any kind. That means a lifetime ban on citizenship, a lifetime ban on birthright citizenship, no access to any form of government benefits for the entirety of your life if you come into this country illegally. And it's not that we hate the people on the other side, as the left says. It's that we love our country. That's why we want our border to be secured.
Okay. We're going to touch on that in just a moment. Mr. Marino?
Sure. As you know, I came to this country legally as a kid, Columbia, South America. This is an issue that's infuriating to those of us who come into this country legally. This is the easiest problem to fix. The problem is our asylum laws are a loophole. We could have a million troops on the border, but if our law isn't changed so that if you come in illegally, raise your hand and claim asylum, the law currently says you must be granted an asylum hearing. Now, what we have to do is make it very clear. If you cross into the country illegally, you are immediately returned. You aren't arrested, you're not detained, you're just immediately returned, and you forfeit your right to make that asylum claim for life. If you come through a legal channel and you claim asylum, you wait in the previous country, whether that's Mexico or Canada, until your asylum claim is heard. Just those two things is a one-page bill that could get passed in Washington, D.C. today. President Trump tried to do this through executive order in 2018. We have to make that a law. The reason he couldn't get this through the Congress is because you had people like my opponents in Washington, D.C. fighting him every step of the way. This is why he's endorsed me, because he knows when I'm there, I will absolutely fight to make sure we get that done.
You've touched on this slightly, but just to clarify, what can be done about the people, the millions who we're talking about here, who've already entered our country illegally and who are now living here without a criminal record? Would any of you support a path to citizenship? Let's first begin with you, Mr. LaRose.
Absolutely not. I said a lifetime ban for anyone that came into this country, which is interesting given that what Mr. Moreno just said, which is very inconsistent with what he said in the past when he wrote an op-ed literally calling for a path to citizenship for those that are here illegally. This is why this man can't be trusted. He's constantly shifting his views on these kind of things. And of course, the asylum process has to be repaired. Anybody that came through two or three other safe countries to get to our country is not actually seeking asylum. They're trying to break into our country, and that absolutely has to be reformed.
Mr. Moreno?
So let's think about this for a second. Think about who's endorsed me in this race. President Trump, J.D. Vance, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Mike Lee, 15 senators. Do you think that they would endorse me if I was for amnesty? I'll answer the question very simply, which you did not. If you're in this country illegally, if you're listening on TV, if you're in this country illegally, come January of 2025, you will be deported. The reality is there's absolutely no path to citizenship. That's insane. And you can't have a ban on government services because these illegal migrants are going into our hospitals today. This is why they're taxing our system. This is why we have a problem with inflation. If you're in this country illegally, you will be deported. But you need people to have the backbone to actually follow through on that. Amnesty doesn't mean giving you a ban for citizenship. It means we will not be rewarded because you already broke our laws. You're here illegally, and either we have a law or we don't. That's how we fix this. Now, it comes from a position of empathy. What we're doing right now is the Hunger Games on the southern border. We have these liberals in Martha's Vineyard that are watching these migrants come across as if it's some sort of sick sport. They're getting exploited by drug cartels. We need to make it clear you cannot come here that way. You must come here the legal way.
Thank you. Mr. Dolan.
Well, as I said, we have got to secure and seal the border, because what these guys have been talking about has been talked about in this country for over 30 years. We have a patient that's bleeding out at the table, and they want to talk about cosmetic surgery. You have to stop immigration from coming into this country until we are prepared to protect this country, to know who's coming into this country, what they're bringing into this country. But here's where I'm different than them. When that happens, I understand this job. This job is to listen. And I know Ohio employers need help. I know law enforcement officers don't want to go door to door and kicking children out of this country. They want to make sure that neighborhoods are safe. And this is what I'm saying. Secure and seal the border, and if you are committing a crime here, you're gone. If you're not willing to enter into a process of getting an H1 or H2 or B1, B2 permit, then you're gone, because we need the workers here. But if we had followed our laws that we have in place now, none of these tragedies would have occurred. If Remain in Mexico had stayed in place, none of this invasion would have occurred. So it's about getting the border sealed, and then we go from there. Nothing is going to change. We're going to talk about it for another 30 years unless we seal the border.
Thank you. Big night last night. Big night for Super Tuesday. This morning, Nikki Haley dropped out of the race. It looks like we are going to have another rematch between President Biden and former President Trump. No doubt that Donald Trump is a lightning rod when it comes to American politics. So voters care if you agree or if you disagree with him. Recently, former President Trump said that he would encourage Russia to attack our NATO allies who have not met their financial obligation. My question to the three of you is, do you support his view, and why or why not? Mr. Marino.
That is absolutely not at all what his intent was. That's a liberal talking point. Listen, what he's making very clear is this. Germany is a very wealthy country. They're not paying their fair share of their own defense. They're expecting us, the American taxpayer, to pay their defense. That's the point he's trying to make. It's crystal clear. The media loves to take that. This is the media that endorsed my opponent, by the way, which I thought was a little embarrassing, honestly, that the left-wing liberal Cleveland Plain Dealer endorsed you. Yikes, right? So what I would say is, in the editorial board of the Plain Dealer, that's exactly how they talk, that this is what President Trump meant. We know what he meant. If we want Germany to be successful, but they have to pay their fair share, you're not going to defend another country that's not willing to defend themselves. The days of us being ripped off by our allies got to end. We're $34.2 trillion in debt. We're paying for the defense of South Korea, of Japan, of Germany, of NATO, and they're not even doing their own fair share. We have to make certain that America isn't ripped off. We're going to be strongest abroad when our economy is strong and we've taken care of our fiscal house.
Mr. Dolan, same question.
Well, as your question, two things can be true at once. I mean, NATO does need to meet its responsibility and have a certain part of their GDP to pay for their defense. But it is not, as a U.S. senator, will I ever allow American promise to go broken. And let's look at, I mean, it's the irony of this whole race is that I'm the only one up here who knows what Trump policies are and have put Trump policies in place. So what did Trump give Ukraine? Weapons. What did Biden and Obama give Ukraine? Blankets. Why did they invade when Trump wasn't in office? Because he did and met our responsibility. Because we asked Ukraine a few years ago to dismantle nuclear weapons. Why? Because it makes you safer. And you know what else makes you safer? When our enemies and our allies know that America will keep its promise. And the reason we have a mess around the world right now is because we are not strong. And I, unlike my two opponents, I will never concede to Putin. This is about your security. This is about protecting that Ohio men and women don't have to go to Poland to fight Putin, that men and women don't have to have Chi just ride roughshod in the Asian Pacific and we have a battle there. We need to be strong economically, we need to be strong militarily, and we need to keep our commitments.
Time. Mr. LaRose.
I bring some obvious experience to this as an Army Green Beret. I'll be the first Green Beret to serve in the United States Senate in history and the only member of that body, thank you, and the only member of that body who still serves in uniform. There are currently 52 millionaires in the Senate, but there are no people in the Senate who still wear the uniform as a reservist or National Guard member. President Trump has been an excellent leader on this issue all along. He was clear in his previous administration that 2% threshold that NATO members are supposed to meet is not a suggestion. It is a requirement. In fact, in many cases, it's the bare minimum. They really should be at more like 2.5% or 3%, and it's important that they invest those dollars wisely. So getting NATO to finally bear their share of the burden instead of wasting all their money on silly social programs is absolutely a top priority. But the premise of the question was about last night being Super Tuesday and about Nikki Haley dropping out of the race, which means there's only one Republican running. Effectively, Trump has been the front runner and really the effective nominee of the party for many months now. Our Ohio Republican Party has endorsed him. Heck, even Mitch McConnell endorsed him today. There's one of us on this stage that has not endorsed President Trump. And my question to Matt is, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it tonight? You've got an audience here. It's time that we unite behind President Trump.
Time. Mr. Dolan, would you like to respond? You have 30 seconds.
Once again, the irony here is I'm the only one that's enacted Trump policies. Trump cut our taxes. I cut taxes. Trump reduced our regulations. I reduced regulations. Trump understood the importance of making sure parents control the education system. I got universal school choice. Of course, I'm going to support President Trump. But here's the thing. I'm going to fight for Ohio. My commitment in this race has always been about you. My commitment in my public service has always been about you. So when Ohio needs strong representation in the U.S. Senate, only me is going to be able to say, I'm for Ohio. Clearly.
I don't know if that was an endorsement.
You know what's fascinating to watch? Did you guys notice neither one of them actually answered your question? Your question was, do you stand behind the comments that President Trump made?
Mr. Marino, okay, let's move on.
The Republicans are fed
left-wing media talking points. And when they're in office, what they do is they go out there and they bend the knee to the media.
Okay, we're moving on.
But stand behind the man and say, that's not what President
Mr.
Trump
Marino,
had.
Thank you. Okay. Since we're getting so heated about this issue and former President Trump, and it looks like that's going to be the GOP candidate, let's take it a step further here. No doubt he can be a polarizing figure, right? People tend to love or hate him. There are, as I mentioned off the top of our debate here, there are about 40% of voters last polled said that they're still undecided. So what's your direct message to the person, the voter out there, who says, I'm not going to support you because you vote or because you support former President Trump? What's your comment to that? To that voter, what would you say to them, Mr. Dolan?
Again, I would say, look, I'm supporting President Trump to be our nominee, but because I support Trump Republican policies. Look, his personality, it's not me. His political style, it's not me. But his policies that make your life better, that make America stronger, will make Ohio stronger, that is me. And I am the only one on this stage who's actually put Trump policies into place. I didn't have to delete my history about President Trump. Both of these guys don't want you to read what they said about the former president. I am the only one who can tell you unequivocally, I voted for him in 2016 and 2020. We'll do the same in 24. But that's not where it ends with these guys. They're reinventing themselves. You know, Frank talks about he's a parent, but he had a chance to stop Common Core and he didn't do it. Frank, those are your own words. Here's the difference. Is I'm going after these guys with their own words, and they won't even accept that. You cannot trust somebody who's willing to just walk away from things that they previously believed in just for political expediency. These jobs matter, and they are about serving the public, and you are entitled to know who we are. These guys don't want you to know who they are. I do.
Mr. LaRose, again, the question is, how do you win over the voter who's concerned that you support Trump?
Absolutely. Well, and first, to Matt, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not to your own facts. I have never supported Common Core, never would. I've been an outspoken champion for educational freedom and local control.
One second.
Control of education. The question was about President Trump, and of course, I'm proud to be a longtime Trump supporter, voted for him in 16, went to work for him on his inaugural committee in 17, supported him in 20, and I endorsed him early last year because I believe he's the right man for the job. When you're going into battle, you want a leader who is fearless and who is feared. That's who Donald Trump is. And I understand that some people, again, may find his personality abrasive. I think that's the kind of bold, courageous leader that we need. I would proudly trade some mean tweets about now for cheaper gas and for lower energy prices and for a more secure world. And so to the voters out there that are wondering if they can support President Trump, I ask you to consider the alternative. Sleepy Joe Biden, who's been taking this country into the ditch, needs to go. President Trump is the man that can beat him and can put this country back on track. I ask you to join us in supporting him so that we can get that America First agenda done next year, and I will be his best ally in the United States Senate.
Mr. Marino.
So Frank does know President Trump, and President Trump knows Frank, and he endorsed me. What else would you like me to say? That's the end of the question. But listen carefully to what you just said, the whole personality thing. Let me just say something that needs to be said that hasn't been said. He's a good man. President Trump's a good man. This idea that I support his policies but not the personality, that's a bunch of BS. That is media talking points. This is a man that could have given up on this country a long time ago, that has taken more abuse than any other human would have ever taken. They're trying to put the man in jail, take away his businesses, put his kids in jeopardy. And what does he do? He wakes up every single day and fights for us and fights for this country. He's a good man. And we need more people to say that loudly and clearly. It's not just the policies. We're so lucky to have a man like that that's so strong, that's willing to fight for this country. It's an inspiration to me because when these guys lie and make up all kinds of comments, I think, look at what President Trump had to deal with. Russia, collusion, fake impeachments. This is a man that is a good and decent human being.
Thank you. Mr. Dolan, did you want to rebut? Did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, you're calling me a liar. All I'm doing is using his words. All the words that he deleted, that he didn't want you to know about. He didn't want you to know about path to residency. He didn't want you to know that he actually supported Merrick Garland for Supreme Court. You don't want to know. It's his own words, folks. It's his own words. But you know what? They're deleted now. Because he doesn't want to stand before you, as a public servant should, and just say, this is what I'm all about. You're reinventing yourself, Bernie, and you can't be trusted.
Okay, let's move on here to the war in the Middle East. A lot of Americans are concerned about what is going on and our involvement. From a support standpoint, the U.S. is currently involved in two wars, the war in Ukraine since 2022 and the Israel-Hamas war since October of last year. Do you agree with the role America is playing in both? Specifically, tell me how big of a role we should be playing, if at all. Mr. LaRose.
Well, there's an interesting contrast up here between the three of us as it relates to Ukraine. On the one extreme is Bernie, that seems to just have this isolationist, let it burn, not our problem mentality. That's foolish. Problems get bloodier and costlier when America fails to lead. And Mr. Dolan seems to have this approach that we just continue the Biden policy of throwing more money at it. Of course, that's not the problem either. What we need to do is, first of all, we need to replace the president so we have a commander-in-chief with the courage to make this end quickly, and that means using all the levers of power diplomatically, financially, and of course making sure that the situation on the ground is such that we can end this peacefully and end this in a way that doesn't give all of Ukraine to Putin. Let me talk about Israel. There will be no stronger supporter for the modern state of Israel than me. I've served with members of the IDF as an Army Green Beret. They know what they're fighting for. They're fighting for the Jewish homeland, for the modern state of Israel. But shockingly, just 7 days, 5 or 6 days after October 7th, Mr. Moreno stood on a stage much like this one and said, Israel doesn't need America's help. That is absolutely foolish. Israel has needed America's help for 76 years, and she still does today, and I will always stand with Israel and make sure that they are free and sovereign.
Mr. Moreno.
I think you're going to get a bonus point if you don't say my name in your answer. So the reality is, 7 days after the invasion and the murder of Jews in Israel on October 7th, Biden was calling for a ceasefire. Biden was calling for a ceasefire on the day of October 7th. What Benjamin Netanyahu himself said, let us do what we need to do to wipe out Hamas. On that day, what they needed from America is for us to have their back. What we do in Israel is provide them money that comes back to us in spades. It's research and development money. I know this personally. First of all, my granddaughter's Jewish. My son-in-law's Jewish. My daughter's Jewish. I've been to Israel many times, and I've invested in many Israeli tech companies. The head of the Republican Jewish Coalition, Norm Coleman, endorsed me. The vice chair, Lee Zeldin, endorsed me. Nobody is going to be stronger on Israel than myself and my wife. My wife carries a chain reminding us that to this day, there are still American hostages in Gaza, and yet not one news station talks about that. That should be on the minds of every American. We have American hostages in Gaza, and our president and the media turns a blind eye.
Mr. Dolan.
So my opponents are missing the point of this job. This job is about you. These conflicts in the world affect Americans' security. If Putin is allowed to run roughshod in Ukraine, which both of my opponents' plan would allow that to happen, I don't know how you negotiate. I've done a lot of negotiating, private and public sector. You don't decimate one side and then say, let's come to a peaceful settlement. As I mentioned earlier, we asked Ukraine to dismantle nuclear weapons because that makes it safer for you. And we said we would provide conventional weapons if Russia invades. Well, they didn't invade under Trump because Trump gave them weapons. We need to continue to provide them the weaponry so they can fight Russia. And we don't have American boots on the ground in Poland or the Baltics. We need to make sure that Israel has what they need to defeat an Iranian-backed terrorist organization. This isn't two countries. This is a terrorist group that wants to wipe out the state of Israel. And if America needs to be present in the Mediterranean and the Red Sea to make sure Iran stays out of it, then we should be there. Unfortunately, Biden just wants to play patty cake with them. If the Houthis from Iran are going to attack American soldiers, Iran needs to feel it from the United States of America, because ultimately it comes back to keeping America safe.
Thank you. Moving on to one of the biggest social issues that we constantly hear about. It is one of the biggest issues in the country for so many voters. Last November, 57% of Ohio voters supported abortion protections. It was the seventh state at the time to support abortion access since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Now the GOP, some, are talking about a federal ban on abortion. My question to all of you is, would you support a federal ban on abortion, or do you believe that it's up to the states like Ohio voters voted already? Mr. Marino.
Well, a ban is a media Democrat talking point. Let me just make this position crystal, crystal clear. What we have to do in this country is make certain that we have policies that make it less expensive to have children, less expensive to raise children, make sure that women have access to good health care, that women have equal access to contraception the way men do, make certain that adoption services are readily available, make certain that we're funding pregnancy centers and giving absolutely not one dime to Planned Parenthood and abortion mills. And as much as we can get to a federal standard, like even the most left-wing European country, let's get to a 15-week standard where after 15 weeks, there are some common sense restrictions so that in this country, the greatest country on earth, we don't have elective late-term abortions. But the reality is Sherrod Brown and Joe Biden and the radical Democrats want to have abortion on demand for any reason right up until the moment of birth. And Sherrod Brown even voted against the Infant Born Alive Protection Act, a bill that would have given life-saving care to babies born in botched abortions. This is how insane the other side has gotten in just a few short years. We're going to regain this topic, and we're going to pummel Sherrod Brown with it, because he is absolutely an extremist. And despite the media covering for him, we're going to make this clear.
I don't think it's a talking point. It certainly is a big issue for so many voters. Mr. Dolan, your response.
Yeah, so I have a pro-life record that I'm very proud of. Abortion's gone down 37% since I've been in office because of the bills I voted on actually became law and have done what we wanted to do. And Bernie was nice enough just to outline all the things he says he wants to do. Those are all things I did here in Ohio. So we have created a family-friendly Ohio. But here's the thing. This is an important issue that you cannot be disingenuous with Ohioans about. And I have been crystal clear about my position about abortion. And it hasn't always set well with every Republican. But I have never deviated from the fact that we need to have three exceptions: life of the mother, rape, and incest. And when I fight Sherrod Brown in the fall, he's not going to be able to do what he's going to do against these guys. He called for a six-week national ban, and he's not clear about exceptions. He said absolutely no exceptions. Again, these are their words. Here's the reality, is we cannot have late-term abortion. I don't think there's any disagreement up here. And so if United States of America is passing laws throughout the state that is going to allow late-term abortions, then yeah, I think the federal government needs to get find that reasonable position. But I alone, I'm the one that's going to be able to put Sherrod Brown's feet to the fire on his position abortion, because I more accurately reflect where Ohio sits right now.
Thank you. Mr. LaRose.
Ohioans know that I fight to protect the sanctity of life. I've been very consistent about that. Was proud to vote to defund Planned Parenthood when I served in the state legislature, and proud to amass a 100% pro-life voting record. Ohioans have seen me go into battle to fight for the sanctity of life, and that's probably why I'm proudly endorsed by Ohio Right to Life as well. But we have to be compassionate when we talk about this issue. It's not good enough to be pro-birth. We must truly be pro-life. We need to affirm life and those that want to start a family. We need to be supportive of women that are making difficult choices to make sure that they can make those life-affirming choices, like having a child and giving that child up for adoption. We also need to make sure that the cost of starting a family isn't so prohibitive for people. We need to support pregnancy centers and, of course, access to contraceptions for those who choose those options as well. But again, this is also another example of why you can't trust shifty Bernie Moreno on this issue. He talked about defunding Planned Parenthood up here. He cannot be trusted, because he sat on a charitable foundation board that literally gave $2 million to Planned Parenthood and said nothing, did nothing to stop it from happening. That kind of shiftiness does not make for a consistent or trustworthy United States senator.
Mr. Marino, quickly, because we're running out of time, but I want you to respond because I've heard this often. Did you sit on a board that allowed and funneled money into pro-choice groups?
It was a board that had donor-advised funds where the donors directed that money, but Frank knows that. By the way, Ohio Right to Life endorsed me also. Do you think, Frank, that Ohio Right to Life didn't do their research? By the way, Ohio Valley Voters knows all three of us, only endorsed me. So this is a total and complete disgusting attack. Here's what's interesting, though. Last night at 5:30, what were you guys doing? You know what Frank LaRose was supposed to be doing? Having a Zoom call with no labels, which is, that's all that, oh my God, that's so funny. They scheduled a Zoom fundraiser for him.
Okay, time, off topic.
For no labels, which is the most radical Planned Parenthood amnesty pro-open borders organization. It's too liberal for Nikki Haley.
Okay.
Right, that's the group that he was doing a fundraiser with last night.
Okay. Quickly respond.
Fake news. My labels are well known. Conservative, Republican. There was no call. There was no meeting. But Bernie talked about donor-advised funds. I think he prefers to be a donor-advised senator. That seems to be what he wants to do in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
You've got
thank you.
Campaign money from two human beings. Two people, right?
Okay.
Gentlemen.
Thank you both. Listen. Mr. Marino, Mr. LaRose, please, thank you so much. Let's get to one last question here. I think we have time for that. And that's going to be what we're seeing right here, frankly. It's the division in Washington. And I think it's a huge concern for Ohio voters and Americans. I have heard from voters of all ages, race, political affiliations. They're disgusted, frankly, with the division in Washington. Some people telling me they don't even want to vote in the primary or this November. Lawmakers even voicing their frustration that they can't get anything done. So what's one hot button issue right now that you say that you could reach across the aisle on? Mr. Dolan.
Well, again, not only I can only one on the stage who can point to getting conservative agenda across the finish line that we all like, that some Democrats came aboard with. Because if you present the case that conservative ideas and our principles are better for everyday Ohioans, we can bring anyone along. So first of all, we have to get the pen. That's why this race is so important. We have got to get into the majority. Because when you get the majority, we get to set the agenda, and we all know what agenda we need set as Republicans. But again, it's the border. We must secure and seal it. And I think for the first time, maybe Democrats are coming awake. Maybe these New York mayors and Denver mayors and Chicago mayors have had enough of their own policies. So I think right now, if I were in the U.S. Senate, we could strike a deal to close the border. Not compromise on 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 a day. Close the border because we are seeing the damage it's doing to our country. And if you put it in those terms, here's what helps everyday Americans. Here's the policies that will work and benefit your life. That's how you get things done. That's how you get things done that we believe in, and we bring more Americans together.
Time. Thank you. Mr. LaRose, one thing you could reach across the aisle on.
Well, it's interesting to me that Republicans are always asked where they're willing to compromise, but Democrats are very seldom asked that question. Of course, in order to govern, you've got to bring people together to solve problems. I know how to do that, and I believe this is something that the Senate is built to do, by the way. It's a 100-member body with six-year terms where people can get to know each other. But my approach is to work across the aisle by bringing folks to my cause, my conservative cause. I've done that as a member of the state Senate. I've been able to bring people along on important legislation that I've worked on, not by ever compromising my principles, but by reaching out and finding where there's common ground on things. Both of my opponents should be really good at talking to Democrats because both of them are former Democrats. But the one thing that I think that it's important for people to understand is that where there is little disagreement in Washington among corporate elite Republican and Democrats is on spending more of your money. This is why we have a $34 trillion national debt right now, and nobody's talking about this. This is generational theft. It's us saying we're going to live beyond our means, and we're going to pass the bills on to our grandchildren and children. We have to do something about that, and that takes courage to do, because we don't have a revenue problem in D.C. We have a spending problem, and I'm somebody that knows how to cut spending and have done it, not only in the state Senate, but also as Ohio Secretary
Thank
of State.
Thank you. Again, the question, one hot-button issue you'd reach across the aisle on?
I think we can get term limits done. I think we can get, that's an 80-20 issue. Most Americans are in favor of it. But I think beyond that, what I find when I go to Washington, D.C., it's filled with mediocre lawyers and career politicians, people who wouldn't otherwise have made it in the private sector, with very few exceptions. And the sad part for me when I go to Washington, D.C., is that our leaders have lost faith in this country. What I hear them say is, we can't do that. We can't do this. They don't believe in American exceptionalism. There's no way we're going to get forward as a country to where we hand this country to the next generation better than when we got it, unless our leaders understand what is possible, what is capable, what the people before us came here to do. And I'll tell you this, it's never going to happen with people who are going there because they're term limited from one job and they're job seeking for another one. It's got to go back to what our founders envisioned. Do something in the private sector. Go to Washington, D.C. to serve this country, and then come home. That's something we can unite about.
All right, that does it for our question and answer portion. Time now for our closings. We're going to go in reverse order from the openings. That means, Mr. Dolan, you have the first closing statement. You have 90 seconds.
All right, thank you for your question. Thank you all for attending. You know, my father served in the United States Marines, and my mom was spent time in a Maryknoll Catholic convent. Maybe afterwards I can explain how that produced six children. But what it did produce is someone who understands that you need to take ownership. Politics is the only business I'm aware of where you can stand in front of an audience and get applause for blaming other people why you didn't get your job done. And that's what Sherrod Brown has done for 18 years in the Senate and decades before that in public office. It's time we take ownership of the challenges that are facing us in this country. I will not be the politician who's going to come to you and blame others for why it didn't get done. I'm going to be the public servant who's going to come to you and say, this is what we've gotten done, and it helps you. It helps America. But, you know, I've done it in a way that makes my wife Jessica and my boys Sam and Max proud of me. You know, I tried a case earlier in my career, and the opposing counsel came up to me afterwards and said, you are the nicest, meanest guy I've ever dealt with. I can be tough. It's going to take toughness. I can fight. The difference is I fight and get results. But here's what we have to know. Civility in politics is not a weakness. And strength should not be judged by how loud you are, but on the results that you get for the American people. Send me to Washington. Vote for me on March 19th. I'll get the results of beating Sherrod Brown, and we'll go to Washington, and we'll own the problems and fix them and get things done. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Marino.
So I'll end where we started. This is the most consequential vote that you'll take. This country is at a crossroads. This is not an election about marginal tax rates. We're going to obviously fix those, keep those tax cuts permanent. That's not what this election is about. This election is about, what kind of country are we? Are we a country that honors our founding principles? Are we a country that is true to the fact that we have to put America, always America and Americans, first? Are we going to be a country that continues to send career politicians to Washington, D.C., where they think about their job and their career? We did a great job in 2016 and elected an outsider, a business person, who wasn't beholden to anybody, in President Donald J. Trump. We're going to do that again in November. But we know now from history that alone he can't do it. Sadly, in 2017 and 18, he fought Republicans just as much as he fought Democrats. We can't have a repeat of that situation. If you think that the Republican Party should be the party of Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney, then maybe I'm not for you. But if you want the person that was endorsed by President Trump, J.D. Vance and Jim Jordan, vote for me 11 times. Once for you, and 10 that you get others to go out and vote. Because we have to show a resounding vote that we are the state that will always stand for the America First principles. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. LaRose.
Well, thank you, Sherry. Thanks to Miami University, my mom's alma mater. Proud to be back here. Thanks to my best friend and my wife, Lauren. Thank you so much, sweetheart, for being here. And most of all, to all of you, my fellow Ohioans. At the beginning of this, I asked you a simple question. Who can you trust? As you head to the voting booth over the next 2 weeks, you have to ask yourself that question. Who do you know is going to fight for your values? This is too important. We have to beat Sherrod Brown. We have to take back the Senate majority, but beating him is not good enough. If we replace him with another corporate elite Republican who just wants to go to D.C. to be popular, what have we accomplished? Absolutely nothing. This is why I'm in this fight, because we have a country to save. You know who I am. I'm an Army Green Beret. I've been in the Army for over 15 years, a lot longer than I've been in politics. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a Christian, and I'm a patriot. My agenda is clear. We will restore American prosperity through free market principles. We will secure the southern border and end Biden's invasion. And of course, we'll stand up for parents' rights because mom and dad know what's best for their children. So the question is, who can you trust? Who can you trust to go to Washington and fight for your values, to represent Ohio's values? Who will run into battle for you? I'm Frank LaRose. I'm asking for your vote. I'm also asking for your prayers because I'll never let you down. Thank you.
Thank you. That wraps up our debate in the Republican primary for Ohio's U.S. Senator. We'd like to thank all of our candidates here. How about a round of applause for all three of our candidates asking for your vote? A special thank you to Miami University for once again partnering with us. They've been a great host once again. They know how much politics means across Ohio, and we appreciate Miami University. A reminder to all of you at home and in the audience, although I don't think I need to remind you, that the primary is just 2 weeks away, happening on March 19th. We hope that you'll go out and vote. From all of us here at WLWT News 5, a big thank you to all of you at home and in the audience. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'll see you tonight at 11 o'clock. Have a great evening.